This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. How was your weekend in Tauranga, Barry?
Oh, it was a long weekend, Mariana. We were sort of doing okay for a while, but we ran out of pickle juice at the end. Well done to Alan Grant and Max Morrison, who got up in the last wood to Blair and Liz Fisher and Jack James and Michael Weir.
Yeah.
They did a great job of running it, but I think perhaps a little disappointed with 16 tables for a big event like that.
16 tables? When I could get internet connection to have a look at the scores, what was going on, I'm not too sure what's happening across the Motu, but it was really hard. What I liked to see was that there were different leaders in almost every session.
It was interesting because it was scored up by barometer. It would be quite good to watch if you could, because you got to see the lead changing, or it was where right throughout overall. You know, that would have been good to watch. It's a shame that the internet didn't play ball. I guess it's hard for a club like Tauranga. You know, they're not that easy to get to. Running a 20A national pairs and getting 16 tables, bit of a shame. And they did do a fantastic job of running it, all credit to them. But difficult to get people to go there.
Who was the director for the weekend?
That was Carolyn Wiggins. I did hear a funny story from one of your friends. It is bridge related, so I'll tell it. And I don't think she'll mind me saying that it was Claire Mao. She said she started a new job and they said to her, what do you do? What are your hobbies outside of work? And she said, oh, I play bridge. And they said, oh, bridge. They said, oh, we like bridge players. We really like bridge players. They're intelligent. They're analytical. And they're calm.
Really?
That is really what they thought. And Claire, she said to them, have you seen any? Do you think that's how we're viewed by the outside world, as being intelligent, analytical and calm?
I don't know. I'd like to think so. Oh, that's awesome.
But the fact that some of them can't count to 13 and do some pretty silly things from time to time and don't necessarily always keep calm, I think they've got a bit to learn about bridge players.
It's hilarious. Oh, well, all the best with your new job. Keep calm, play bridge.
Yes.
Hamilton have got an open teams. It's only a 5A this weekend and we've got 19 teams so far.
Yeah, and of course the problem is we've been having internet problems over the weekend, so anybody that was trying to enter wouldn't have been able to. So I don't know what the closing date is for this one, do you know? But perhaps we should push it out a day or so, because people would have had trouble entering over the weekend.
Yeah.
Apparently you couldn't enter.
You can either send us an email, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com, and we'll put your entry in. Just let us know who your teammates are, and we'll certainly slide it in. Or failing that, it can be contact@hamiltonbridge.co.nz.
We always go out of our way to let people enter. This occasion where you might have been trying to enter and couldn't get in, we will be sympathetic. I don't know what the closing date is, but we'll try and fit you in even if you're a little bit late.
It definitely is. contact@hamiltonbridge.co.nz.
I'm not sure, but I think the NZ Bridge site is back up and running now, so you may well be able to enter on there. I certainly hope so. You can email us at the Bridge Zone, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com, or you can email the Hamilton Bridge Club. If you've got Mariana or my phone number, just ring us and we'll do our best to get you in. Just saying, is we're not biased towards Hamilton Bridge Club. If this happened to another bridge club, we'd try and help out there as well.
Well, I've got my house team. They're all ready to play if we do manage to end up with a odd number of teams. We've got it covered that way.
You've got night lessons, have you?
We have one session on a Tuesday night, and then we offer a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. Just sort of catch a boat market.
How's the night session going?
The night session has between 5 and 6 tables. We've got an 8-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 16-year-old in attendance with their parents. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We've not made a great success of retaining people at night time. I ran a course last year for people at night, and it was very well attended. We had 100 people in the class, but we just lost them all, and we didn't really manage to work out how to retain them. And nighttime is a challenge in the bridge world these days. It's a growing challenge because people are inclined not to turn up at nighttime.
I think it's not just the lessons, Paul, that nighttime sessions at bridge, we're struggling, our numbers are pretty low. Now, the daytime sessions do well, then the nighttime sessions, it is a bit of a battle.
My experience as well, Barry.
Since COVID, it seems like people are less inclined to come back to nighttime bridge.
I think you've got so much entertainment that's available on a screen nowadays. You can get sophisticated entertainment, you can get movies, you can get other things, you can get interaction. And so what's the point of going out in the cold, that's...
Yeah, exactly.
Or hey, in you all can even, planets, you can even play bridge online if you really don't want to go out.
So. Now we're talking about online, but what are your feelings about online bridge?
When COVID came along, we pivoted to online. Me and my business partner, Nevin Adjurvik, we created an online situation and it's still running to this day. We would have about many hundreds of people playing online per week. We have a session every day. And so we're running Online Bridge on a daily basis and it's really a lively community.
Okay. One thing I noticed in Australia is that you guys have regular club sessions on a Saturday. We don't do that here in New Zealand because people are out playing tournaments on the weekend. How did Australia create almost like a six-day program for bridge?
I mean, we have bridge on Saturday. I mean, and you have to book to get in. And
yeah.
Next Saturday is fully booked and there's a list of people wanting to get in. We can only take 120 here. It's all full.
Wow, that is awesome.
It's virtually non-existent in New Zealand. I guess there must be clubs that operate on the weekend occasionally, but I'd say on a Saturday, virtually nobody playing. It's just a major difference.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because I know they play on Saturday at Ken's. I'd be talking to William and he said, yeah, we'll be playing. We get great numbers on a Saturday. It's awesome. Don't know whether that would work here in New Zealand because everyone's jumping into tournaments. And our tournament numbers actually, Paul, are looking really, really good at the moment.
Yeah.
We have a lot of events that are booked out because, again, they can only take a certain amount of numbers and they have people waiting to get in. We have an annual online Swiss Pairs. It's run on a Wednesday night over 3 weeks. How many tables, Barry?
We've got 34 tables. And actually, here we are talking about how nighttime bridge is a struggle. This online thing, 3 weeks in a row, the numbers are great.
That's wonderful. It really is.
I do think when it comes to going out at night, especially this time of year, it's a bit more attractive to sit by the fire and play bridge, I guess.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, you talk about tournaments, Mariana. The percentage of bridge players that play tournaments is still not that high. So there must be an awful lot of club players not playing any bridge on the weekend that would be interested in playing on a Saturday.
I mean, you talk about tournament players. I mean, our people don't play tournaments by and large. We have 120 people here on a Saturday with people wanting to get in. And of those people, only 4 or 5 people would be playing tournament bridge on a regular basis. Almost
really?
None.
Really? It's more of that social community coming together.
I don't think that would be that dissimilar here, except that our people have not got the option of playing on a Saturday, even if they want to, just play club bridge. Most club bridge players don't play tournament.
Yeah. But yeah. These days, I mean, with the collapse of the Gold Coast, which was a major social event, you'd be familiar with the Gold Coast every year. And that was a great loss because a lot of people went up there and played in that event just for the fun of it. It was a holiday with some bridge on the side. That's how we would see bridge to a large extent as well. Not bridge for the absolutely totally focused competitors, but for people that want to just go and relax and have some fun. And it's a great pity that the Gold Coast is not happening anymore.
They used to get at least a couple of hundred Kiwis over there as well. A lot of them were there just for the holiday as they were for the bridge.
Oh, yeah, and they still talk about the Gold Coast. I played in a tournament on the weekend and it was mentioned by 3 different people. A couple of clubs here that actually used to go and get a new set of polo shirts embroidered particularly just for the Gold Coast. It was amazing.
Nice. And your tournament, and Hamilton's still bowling along, doing fantastic, isn't it?
Our membership is down. The club rooms are still fantastic, and our daytime sessions are very well attended.
And we run a lot of tournaments in a year. We're lucky that we're close enough to Auckland that they're usually pretty well patronised.
Yeah.
It's good to have a million people just up the road to draw on.
We run 8 tournaments a year, That'd be around about right, would it, Barry? Eight
Something
or
like
nine?
that, which is more than most clubs do. There's still quite a lot of work involved in running tournaments. They're usually pretty successful. Like I say, I think we're lucky being in the area where we are, where there's a lot of bridge players within driving distance. If we were going to drop a tournament, which one would it be? Because they're all quite well
patronised.
Is the National still held in Hamilton?
No, we
I
moved.
Know.
They removed to Mount Maunganui over at Tauranga, and it wasn't really a raging success. And then of all places, was it the first year last year? It was the first year
yeah,
they had.
It was.
They moved to Palmerston North. It was a huge success. We've had the best numbers there. I think there was something like 800 players or something there were there, Mariana. Huge increase in numbers. So
yeah,
I guess it's central for people further down the country. And that's
easy
for
access
us.
So that's right. It was good. The weather was great. It was right smack in the middle of town. And for lunch, you didn't have to worry about where you were going to get lunch because it could go to any cafe. It was just in walking distance to the square. It was a great event. The conference centre couldn't house, so we used the Bridge Club. This year, they're actually going bigger and they're going to use the Distinction Hotel, which can fit even more people.
Only about 300 metres away from the other one. So,
just out
so
yeah, the
door. Pretty, we've been pretty excited about how well that worked. Everybody went away sort of raving about how good it was, and you don't really get better advertising than that.
Yeah. And we got free parking, Paul. The council gave us all these little tickets, and you just put it on your car, and you didn't have to pay for parking for the entire week. Amazing.
Yeah, the Palmerston North City Council was really accommodating. They provided all sorts of things. They were delighted to have all these people coming to Palmerston North. I guess some of them had non-bridge playing partners that might have been there as well. Guess it's good for the city.
It's a great story.
We're hoping you'll be as successful this year. I think it will be.
We were talking earlier that we have a gin club, junior, intermediate and novice. And I was just wondering if you would care to share a tip for those graded people.
For youngish players, it's fun to get involved and it's fun to be free to work out your own system and your own ideas. And if that's the case, then I would encourage people to forge their own path and work out their own methods and have a go, you know? It's really what it's about. It's very difficult for youngish people nowadays because I don't know about in New Zealand, it sounds like it's going great there. In this country, there's not lots of young players playing as a group. It's getting more difficult to recruit youngish people.
Mariana's just landed the job of youth coordinator for New Zealand Bridge.
It's very, very new. We have come up with a strategy, a youth strategy. We've got a timeline up to 2029. I've actually just completed a Bridge in Schools initiative, which I've presented to the board and they've approved the initiative. And at the moment, I'm working on a plan called Youth in Bridge, the people that aren't at school up to the age of youth. Ideally, it'll be up to 25, but we'll take anybody if they're under 31.
What's the event you've got coming up, Mariana? You've got 30. How many people have you got for that?
Oh, we've actually got 39 youth now registered under the age of 25, and we've got a youth camp in Christchurch at the club. Yeah, at the moment, we've got 39 people enrolled, youth players enrolled in that, and it's going to be a weekend of fun.
How old are they?
Our youngest is 7 years old that is attending, and she's just gone through the bridge lesson at the Hutt Bridge Club, made it onto TV, promoting her as our youngest bridge player. And we've got 3 8-year-olds enrolled in the camp. So at this stage, it's looking positive for all these.
But the rest of them would be mostly sort of teenagers, though, would they?
Teenagers, or? Yeah. We've got quite a few that are at secondary schools, and there's a couple of ones between the age of 18, 19, up to 24 coming down.
That'd be very difficult managing the different ages because they all have different requirements.
I'm wondering how she's going to get on, Paul. I don't think we've had 7 and 8-year-olds before. That's pretty unusual, isn't it, Mariana?
It is. So we've got an 8-year-old from Hamilton, an 8-year-old from Whanganui, one from Paihia, and a chap just contacted me and he's got an 8-year-old, but I don't know where he's from. So we're going to have a full table of 7 and 8-year-olds, which would be great. So how to keep them at the tables is really going to be interesting. Join us next week where we talk tennis with Paul Marsden. It's Judge Julie next.
Hear ye, hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session. Now here come the judge. Here come the
Good morning, Judge Julie. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
You're glad you're not down the South Island this week, aren't you?
Yeah, though it was pretty cold on various points. For most of it, Napier was the coldest. Mount Knife had got very cold just before I left there.
Yeah.
And then I got stuck in Nelson. I hope the tournament in Wellington went okay. I understand there were a few problems with people not being able to arrive.
Okay, Judge. Bridge is a tough game when you've got 13 cards. It's even harder when you've only got 11 or 12 and maybe the opponents have got 14 or 15. What happens when the boards get stuffed?
Okay, first of all, can't recommend strongly enough that when your board arrives at your table, that you count your cards. Now, sometimes people will count their cards and they will get the wrong answer for various reasons. Some of the time it's not because they haven't counted them, though nearly always it is. We have had situations where people have picked up, they've got 16 cards and in one hand and 10 in another at the end of the hand. All right, and that's getting a wee bit extreme, to say the least. And one epic hand in Auckland years ago, someone had 26 cards. They kept their hand from the previous board. They had an auction with 26 cards. The opening lead was made, and dummy went down. And at that point, they could see two ace of spades or something, and they realised that's the most extreme case. That was for real.
That is a bit hard to believe. I think 26. How could you hold 26 cards?
I know.
Sorry.
It happens. And like revokes and leads out of turn and insufficient bids and all of those things, a lot of the time it happens because people aren't paying enough attention to what's going on. So we get called to the table because we're a card short or a card too many. And in some cases, we can be minus a card completely because it's been dropped out of the board. I think there was the Nine of Diamonds in one year at Congress that involved Freddie and Duncan in the IPs. Can't remember the exact details now. So you get called to the table. Now, the board is not the same as it was played at any other table. So therefore, the result cannot stand. In the case where only one side is at fault because they didn't count their cards, then one player is 14 and one is 12, which is the most common thing that happens, they will get a 40% board and their opponents who did nothing wrong will get 60%. If you think both sides are partially at fault because neither side counted their cards, and that's not quite true because they're both completely at fault. If they'd counted their cards, either side, then they would have found out before they started play. So you would normally give them 40% each for both sides being at fault. So the result on the board does not stand. It's like when the board's been rotated and the cards have gone back into the wrong hands. Although they might play the same contract as the rest of the room, they are not playing the same board. The dealer is in a different place. There are lots of things that are different. The result does not stand. It's an adjusted board. So it doesn't matter what the contract was, they get whatever they get. 40-40 or 60-40 or whatever it may be because of who's at fault or not at fault. Now, the people at the previous table, they have, in a lot of cases, they have put the card in the wrong place. Not always. Some of the time the cards slip around in the boards. We all have that where suddenly something's gone wrong there. If the person at the previous table has done something wrong, getting the cards mixed up, declare them commonly because they're playing the card from dummy and managed to put it into their hand, so that's now 14 and what was the previous declarer's hand, it comes to the table that way. Most commonly, you tell them they caused a problem and that you don't expect it to happen again. Like slow play, it's procedural. If you have warned them and they persist in not paying enough attention or doing whatever it is wrong, and you do decide that they are at fault and you should penalise them, then, and this doesn't happen very often at all, then you would apply a penalty to their score, their end score, a 0.5% of whatever it is. So you would normally warn them that they're not paying enough attention, they're clearly doing something wrong, and for it not to happen again. Perhaps the third time you would penalise them because they're creating mayhem. And I don't think I've ever had that happen. So you would penalise them on their final score.
Next week, Judge Julie explains about scoring and what to consider when making an adjusted score. Thank you, Judge Julie, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Whakine, coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novices, and our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
Hey, Mr. Gin, I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
Good morning, Ross.
Morning, all.
Have you had a good weekend?
Had a nice weekend. Yeah. Played at Mount Albert Intermediate. Very full tournament. 21 tables, which is probably the best we've had in Auckland for many a month. So that was great. I've got some results for junior and intermediate and even one novice tournament in Taradale. Only three tables. Was won by Philippa Blakey and Howard Tisdall, both from Taradale. That was run in the same room as their junior tournament, won by Susanna Clark and Rahiri Ellison, also from Darida. Marlborough, they had a junior tournament with nine tables. Mandy Carpenter from Picton and Andrea Hutchins from Marlborough won that with an average of over 60%, which was a good result. Intermediate tournaments were in Marlborough. Joe Going from and Wendy Wilson, both from Kaikoura, won that one. They had 16 tables there, which is a good number. In Kairangi, there was also 13 tables with Alicia Hawking and Jeffrey Cronin winning that one. They're both from the Hutt Valley. The one I played in was Mount Albert Intermediate, 21 tables. That was
Hang on, Ross, let me announce this one. Mount Albert Intermediate, won by two youth players, Mackenzie Rhodes and Alex Shan. Well done, boys.
Fielding, there was a restricted tournament. They had 15 tables. It was won by Hans van Bunnik and Caroline Brody, both from Palmerston North.
Hey, that's my friend, Hans.
Aha, there you go. Top intermediate pair were Robin Sinclair from Fielding and Susie Detome from Victoria. Now, I don't give you a top juniors pair from the Mount Albert Intermediate Tournament, and it's one of my little moans, if you like, that if we want juniors to play alongside the intermediates in the intermediate tournaments, then I think there should be a small prize, a few dollars or at least a bottle of wine for the top junior pair, just to recognize them and encourage them. Yes, that's a note of criticism on my part. Talking about Mount Albert, now they are running almost on behalf of New Zealand Bridge a Matariki Day Intermediate Junior Swiss Pairs online tournament, $20 entry. They've only got seven tables. What the heck is wrong with all us intermediate junior players that we can't enter something like that, which is so easy to enter? You can play in your pajamas and it's $20 for a whole day of bridge against all the other juniors and intermediates in New Zealand. Now, what other chance other than Congress do you get to meet a junior intermediate from the bottom of the South Island? There isn't a chance. And they are doing this and they can't get a decent enough entry. It's a real, real shame. There is still time to enter. It is on Friday this week. So get your entries in. And I assure you, it's 5 B points on offer, 7 tables at the moment. Work it out.
Hey, can I just cut back to your Fielding restricted?
For sure.
One of my youth players played in that tournament, Calexio Fisher. He's 15.
I saw the name, yes.
Cool, isn't it? And he's got a younger brother, Baxter, who's 8, who is actually coming to the youth weekend as well.
Down to Christchurch. Lovely.
Yeah, they're both from Whanganui.
Nah, very, very nice. It has been difficult to enter that tournament because the New Zealand Bridge site was down. The opportunity to enter has been there for a number of weeks, and now we're into the last days. There's another junior tournament that I want to give a little rev up to. Jody Birchall is organising a junior tournament at Remuera Club for juniors on the 25th of July, and she is struggling to get more than 5 tables there. We've got to get out and play these tournaments. That's my feeling. That's what I love doing, and I'm sure that more people will love it too when they get into that
mode.
When
they bite the bullet, yeah.
Great news. I have mentioned it in the past. Auckland have actually organised and started a junior and an intermediate circuit for the rest of this year. There'll be a little bit of prize money, trophy, and the Mount Albert tournament on the 4th of July, this weekend past, was the first of the intermediate circuit for Auckland. So that has started. And I hope that's successful, and I hope it's a lot of fun for us who are involved in it. Oh, Barry reminded me, Mr. Jim now has a racehorse. Now has a racehorse named after him. The Rotorua races on the 1st of July was won by Jim and Barrett. So we're going to claim that, aren't we, Barry? Bridgestone now has a racehorse.
I think Ross had a message on the weekend that Jim and Barrett had won the second race at Rotorua. So watch out for Jim and Barrett. Don't know what's lining up next.
Did you see on the New Zealand Bridge website that the ranking reports are out?
Yep, and we're going to get to those next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne nemenem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now. Let's close the show with a tip. You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Know when to walk away. My tip is, what do you play over one no trump? I'm guessing most people play stamen and transfers, although some of them don't. So yeah. If partner opens one no trump, that's pretty simple. Two clubs ask for majors, two diamonds are transfer to hearts, two hearts are transfer to spades, and whatever you play two spades and two no trumps as, that's nice and simple. But what if partner overcalls one no trump?
Oh, okay.
So if they open a diamond and partner overcalls one no trump, I believe that you should play exactly the same responses as if partner has opened a no trump, except that obviously if you're playing a weak no trump and partner's overcalled a no trump showing 16 to 18, say, you only need 8 or 9 points to invite to game, and you only need 10 points to go. Stamen should still ask for a 4-card major, 2 diamonds and 2 hearts should still be transfers. Whatever your other bids over a 1 no trump opener should all be the same.
Okay.
Guess what? If the opponents open at the 2 level, and partner overcalls 2 no trumps, which is probably shown roughly the same hand, because what do you do with 16 to 18 points and stoppers in their suit? I think you should still play stamen and transfers over 2 no trumps. I wonder just how many people have talked about that.
I don't know, but I'm all for using the same system for as many things as possible, because it's just another thing I don't need to remember.
That's right. It's a memory thing. It's not so nice and easy. Anytime partner bids a no trump or bids 2 no trumps, we play stamen and transfers over it. Nice and simple. Well, here he comes again. That's the thing. Who's that with? Ethel? Is that you, Ethel? Where do you think you're going?
That's it from us folks for this week.
New Zealand Bridge.
Take care.
Sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.